When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hi, Christy.
Hi, Will.
How are you?
I'm so excited.
I am too. Why are you excited today? Let's see if it's for the same reason.
EG Daily.
Yes, that is exactly the same reason. She's coming on our show today.
Yes. She is the voice of Tommy Pickles on Rugrats, and also she is
Powerpuff Girls.
Yes.
But also most of the films of my childhood. She has something to do with. She's such an incredible career.
Yeah, she's a rock star, a recording artist.
Literally a rock star.
She's lived a million lives. Yeah. And we're going to get into it today on I Hear Voices.
I hear voices.
Which is kind of fun. How are you?
Thank you for coming and joining us. Nice to be here, y'all.
This is awesome.
Very much been looking forward to
having
you.
A legend sitting behind the microphone.
Icon.
Yeah.
But awesome. I really wanted to cook with you, and we didn't.
That's okay. We could still cook. Okay. Actually, just want to hang out and cook with you.
Because I'm a terrible cook. I just
in
like
Malibu.
That's my love language, when people cook for me, and then I get to eat it.
See, that's very sweet.
That's a wonderful love language.
It's a great love language.
I love that.
I don't even know where to start. With EG.
Oh my goodness.
I've got to be honest with you, because but there you go. I mean, right there. So you just started us because you just sang something. So we're going to start with your singing career. She just picked.
Yes, perfect.
Because it's pretty phenomenal.
Thanks.
I mean, you've been, I'm not even going to get into the Go-Go stuff yet, which I'm freaking out about. So.
Oh, my Go-Go tribute song?
Yeah, we're not even going to get into that yet. But I think we should,
Want to start from the beginning?
Should we start from the beginning? I mean, I guess the beginning is always a good place to start.
What is the beginning? Please tell me.
That's what we're going to have to ask you. So what is the beginning? How did you start in this business of show?
Well, you know, I am not from my family was not a Hollywood family. Like, my parents are French, Tunisian, North African Jews who migrated here in a trailer. And so I wasn't raised in a family where entertainment was in our wheelhouse. My parents just kind of tried to build up their little company. They build fences for a living and window grills, which we need now. And so then I didn't know anything about, like, when I came around, my mother just was like, you're the one. You're the little magic thing.
She had, like, an instinct? Is she intuitive?
I think she just, I think she saw something in the realm of, like, but all our kids are really artistic. There's five of us, five brothers and sisters. Jeez. I was the baby, but she would just like go to a yard sale and bring crazy instruments home or buy like just weird things and throw them in the house. And one of us or the other would pick it up and start playing or, you know.
So were you all musical
really
then?
Cool.
All
Everybody learned how to play everything.
Wow.
None of us were schooled at it. And then my sister's a painter. She was the only like real painter, went to college, master degree in painting. All the rest of us were just like farm animals. We just picked up an old dirty guitar and we just learned how to do things. So. Yeah. I think for me, I just learned art because I didn't have, like, I wasn't good with school.
Oh, okay.
Art was like, Where did your question originate at, though? Where did it start?
Yeah. Music? I mean, yeah. But that seems like where it then just started then with your family. And would you guys all jam together just as you're learning your instruments?
Yeah, everybody would just do some kind of music. Or we'd had like a little, I had a band with my brother called Overman that was like back in the 80s when I was like wearing spandex leopard. And, you know, yeah. So we just do things together. Or my one brother would play bluegrass and the other brother would play something else. So we just, music was part of our thing. That was like my language too. Like music was easy for me. But what happened was, is I developed my voice because of music, because singing was such a big thing.
Uh-huh.
Because acting, though I had an acting agent, scared me because it was very much about like how you looked and how fake you could be sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't do it.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I felt awkward with that. But music was like, spoke to me. I didn't have to be somebody else at that point. Later in life, I learned how much I like being someone else.
Sure.
But I like it because I like how you can tap into different things in people by things you connect to in yourself. And so, yeah, everything becomes a lot more complex in my brain about why I do art, but it's very deep and beautiful for me, all of it.
Oh, that's one. So then did you expect to be a musician? I mean, was that the path originally? Was like, yeah, I'm gonna do music.
I think I always thought I was gonna be a huge pop star.
Okay.
Like forever. And even in my choir teacher back in high school was like, when they tell you at the end of the year what they think you're gonna be, he was like, you're gonna be a huge pop star. And I was like, he knows what's up.
He sees it.
Yeah. But I never would have thought, like, the voiceover thing was sort of a gift from the goose that laid the golden egg. Like, that was like, here's the magic. Okay. So one day out of the blue, this guy calls me who I knew is a producer. And he's like, do you want to do a musical? It's called Tansy. And we've had it on Broadway. And it was being done on Broadway by Deborah Harry.
Oh, wow.
Deborah Harry's classic.
Oh, my yeah. God.
And we need a woman who's petite, who can sing, who's also physically fit. And it was on Broadway. Mm-hmm. And they were like, and they said it folded on Broadway after 3 days. Who knows why?
Wow, three days.
Yeah, after 3 days. So that means all the ships and all the costumes. Sets and all the wardrobes. Yeah. Everything was already an entity. And they called, this producer called and goes, EG, do you want to do this musical? And they're shipping the sets to LA. And I was like, all I wanted to do was sing.
Okay.
I was like, it's a musical? Is there a band? And they're like, yeah, there's a full-on band. I'm like, do I have to put the band members together? And they're like, no. And I was like, do I have to pay for the band members? And they're like, no. Because I didn't have, you know, I was like,
we're a self-starter.
Yeah. And yeah. I didn't have the money yet then to put the band together and pay everybody. But I wanted to be singing.
Yeah.
So it was like, my heart was so connected to the music that I said, it's a musical. I'll do it. That was the reason why I said yes to the play, because I just love singing so much. It connects me to something so deep. And so then I start rehearsing, and then they tell me, you're going to be a female wrestler. So when I had to learn how to be a female wrestler, like flying head mares, Irish whips, the belly flops, like the whole thing in a wrestling ring.
Wow. Okay.
So now I had to learn this crap. So I had to train with this female wrestler, first world female champion wrestler of the world, and then state champion at the time. So then they started training me, and I was like, oh, hell no. This stuff's going to hurt my back. I was like scared. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, this is so hard. I'm not good at this. And every day I'd be like, I don't know if I could do this, but I really want to sing. And
yeah.
And then I pushed myself, and then I was able to do this wrestling, and I learned this craft. And then the play became like this big hit and won all these awards and moved to the Roxy Theater and became a pay theater thing. And out of that play, I ended up getting a major record deal. And out of that play, I ended up falling in love with someone who was really amazing. And out of that play, just everything happened. And so the message of that was, I just kept following what I love so much.
Yeah.
I just kept saying, I just want to sing. It wasn't like I want to do the play, I want to act. It was none of that.
Sure.
It was like, I just want to sing. That was the golden nugget that led me to the thing that broke my whole career. Because then at that particular play called Tansy, where I sang in it, I got a major record deal. So I was signed to A&M Records. I got, fell in love, like I said.
Yeah.
And some guy handed me a card and said, you're really good with your voice. You know, because in the play, I had to be a different voice each round of the wrestling match.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
The first round, I was like, a baby, like, you know that. And then I had to be like, a five-year-old. And then I had to be a 10-year-old. And then I had to be a 16-year-old. And then I had to be a grown woman.
Wow.
So I was like, in that play, I just had to be aging. God. And he was like, you're really good at your voices. And he handed me his card. And he said, you should call me. And I was like, well, thank you. You know, I never was like, I never thought I was going to be a cartoon or, yeah, you know.
Sure.
And you're a rock star and yeah, you're about to right, go to A&M and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I had a record deal yeah, and I had a record and I toured all over Europe with it and I had a number one dance hit all over the world called Say It, Say It. And you can see all these videos are all up on.
Oh, whatever. I have seen.
Yeah, yeah. So end of story. He sent me on my first audition. I wanted to be very respectful to him because you never know. And I talk about that. I talk about like those are offshoots. So like somebody taps you on the shoulder and is like, you should try this thing. Yeah. And like sometimes we're so fixed on the way we think everything has to be or mm-hmm, look mm-hmm, that you're like, no, no, no. I'm going this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going.
Especially after you were so in love with the singing track that, and you also did so much work supporting that, like learning to wrestle and like doing these things. Yeah. And obviously performing live, like 8 shows a week and stuff like that.
My place wasn't 8, which was a lot of shows.
It's a lot, but doesn't even matter if it's 6. Like, it's a lot of work to physically put yourself on stage like that.
Again, and with wrestling and everything. I'm still wrapping my head around how I never saw this show because it sounds like it's
going to be I wish they'd have filmed it, but it was back a long time ago and there were maybe some random clips around.
So is this what, the early 80s, mid 80s by this point?
Yeah, it was probably... Yeah, it was probably early to mid 80s because that was when I got my A&M record deal.
Okay.
And then I had a record out with them. But the beautiful thing was that agent guy ended up being my agent for my whole career until recently in the last few years. Then I made a shift just because, you know, things changed.
Sure.
But I ended up, he sent me on my first audition. He was like, you should really try this. And I was like, that's the offshoot I'm talking about. It was like, I could have been fixed and said no. Yeah. But I was like, sure, I'll try it. You know, I'll try it.
Open to all opportunities.
Those are the little universe thing to this. And then that thing that I said yes to ended up turning me back all around to getting all kinds of other career stuff. So like, you just never know what the thing is that's going to open the door for your real big magic career. So I went on my first audition. He's like, go on this audition. It's for a little kid. And I was like, my first cartoon audition. I was like, I'm having my condo remodeled today. I'll get you on the next one. And he's like, no, I think you should go on this one. I was like, oh, but I don't want to leave these guys in my place because they're working. They're going to rob for me. And I was like, I didn't know. I was like,
yeah.
And I ended up telling the workers, like, I'll be right back. I'm just going down the road. Really, I was leaving for an hour to do that.
Right.
I went to the audition. They showed me a claymation of a little character. I looked at it. I was kind of like, huh. And I remembered the voice I'd been doing my whole life since I was a little girl was like, I'd walk around the playground with my best friend. I'd be like, I'm not sure I like that. And so then I thought, that sounds like the voice I've been doing my whole life for that little floppy mouth little character. I did the voice. I went home. The guy goes, you did really well on that audition. You booked the job. That was Tommy Pickles on Rugrats.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So your very first animation audition ever was Rugrats.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's fortuitous.
Talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the message was like, I listened to the part of me that said, I want to sing. And that I want to sing led me to a show. And that show led me to the agent that then led me to the career that changed my life. Like, changed my life.
Right.
Like, I was doing 8 series a week. I was like Jungle Cubs, Bagheera. I was like Huey, Dewey, Louie. I was, she goes for the intellectual type, such as myself, Huey, Louie. And then I was like, Tommy Pickles. And then I was Buttercup. I'm going to whoop your hiney. Oh, you're a naughty girl.
Your favorite.
Yeah.
Your favorite.
So, you know, it was just like all these things opened up to me because of that. Following my heart about what made me really happy. So that's what I try to tell people.
So would you say that you were raised spiritual, like, or were you spiritual
not
throughout this process? Or what was it that spoke to you to say, like, okay, like, I am going to honor this guy and go and do this because you did it?
I think it was, I did know that you always want to be respectful to people.
Sure. Okay.
Just kind, respectful.
Yeah.
And he was reaching out to me about something and I could have been like, no, I'm a pop singer because I was touring and
you had a deal.
Sure.
But I think that part of me that always just says, stay open, be teachable. Always be teachable.
Where are you hearing that from? Is that like a family thing? Did your mom or dad teach this to you?
Not really. Okay. I think
Life experience, pretty much.
I think when you come from a good place and you're not coming from a snobby place or too cool for school place, that you're more open in that respect. And I just think it came from like, he reached out to me. He was a respectful guy.
Yeah.
He saw something in me. I need to be respectful and check it out.
Sure.
So it was really as simple as that. But I think
it's
always be teachable.
The people that are more open to saying yes to things are usually more successful in life than the people that tend to say no to things.
Yeah.
Because you never know where it's going to take you. So it's, I'll give it a try, like you said. Then brings you to a whole new career.
We don't always know everything. Like we think we do. And sometimes we think we do leads you to a very limited path. Like sometimes, be open, check that out. And that is the thing I really refer to a lot. Like I did a voiceover seminar and I talked, part of the teaching was be teachable and be like, listen for the offshoots, because the offshoots are like the universe saying to you, I'm going to get you that thing you love, but you're going to go this way first.
Yeah.
And so
success is not linear.
It's not linear. Yeah. And like you have a destiny no matter what. So you might as well be, you know, there's all kinds of ways you could try things and you never know.
Right.
And that particular, yes. And it's like I read later in life. I mean, I've always been a grower. Like I always want to like learn. I want to learn how to be comfortable in my skin because life can be hard.
Yeah.
You know, life is painful.
Seriously uncomfortable at times.
Seriously life. Uncomfortable. Yeah.
Challenging.
And scary and sure. challenging. And, you know, if you're not working on your spiritual life, especially in an entertainment career, which can bring you up and knock you down and bring you up and knock you down, which I've had many ups and downs. Yeah, you get it.
That's my other podcast. Vulnerable, it's called.
Don't plug your other stuff here. Don't plug your other stuff.
I gotta plug it.
Yeah, plug it.
What's it called? It's called Vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I just think if you don't really daily, and I do for my kids, like my mission is to constantly teach my daughters who are young adults, 23 and 25, like keep growing. Like this breakup with this boyfriend is about where was it making you joyful and what was not making you happy. And if it's not making you happy more than it's making you happy, then it's time for you to really check it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, and sometimes people stay and not happy so long that they start to think they're depressed and they start to think they're need to do drugs or they need to drink liquor all the time because they're so unhappy. And really what it is, what am I not looking at over there that's making me unhappy? I need to shift it. And so I think I'm an empath. I feel everything so much and I feel other people's pain, and it's like my own pain I can't take sometimes, so I want to do everything I can to constantly nurture feeling better, feeling more joyful.
You need to fill your cup too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I want to get into something.
I know
here
there's so
because
much.
You said something that was very interesting to me, so I'm going to take it back a question, and then we're going to get into some really cool stuff because again, we've talked about how there's a number of, well, we'll start with your film career. So there's a number of films we got to get into.
Okay.
However, you said something really interesting when it came to seeing your first kind of animatic or claymation of what was going to happen on Rugrats. You said, oh, this reminds me of the voice I used to do when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So were you doing voices the whole time you were growing up? I mean, as a little kid, were you just doing multiple voices just with your friends?
Yes, I was. I was doing like imitating little kids' voices. I would like...
My daughter does that.
Yeah.
She's 5.
And that's what I say. Like, that was like the beginning seeds of like... That's why I say like, watch your children because they're showing you things about who they are and what they can do. Even if it's a weird thing. Like, I'd always say like, jokingly, people are double jointed or they flip their eyelids inside out or whatever their weird trick is. I'm like, watch what your children are doing because that is their gift. Like, my nephew used to go through the trash bins in the alleys. And he would bring home like disgusting, dirty, like weird things, like metal, weird thing with rust and worms and bugs and a weird little tire. And we would be like, Robin, you can't put that in the house. Like you just can't. And you know, he ended up being like a very rare, like he builds things for music videos and movies of like a weird goggle thing with a weird futuristic thing. Like he ended up being like a
production designer.
Yeah, he's like a production designer. He has a whole warehouse thing that he works in and people hire him to do this. And it's like, we take our kids sometimes and we were like, no, you're going to follow the family tradition.
I'm guilty of it. Honestly, I'm guilty of it. My daughter does these voices too sometimes, not all the time, but like she will do it. And I've seen her do it. And there's been times when I said, no, that you need to pronounce it clearer. And I'm beating myself all up. But I'm learning something. This is a teachable moment.
Teachable moment.
Yeah.
Thank you,
And
AG.
Also because sometimes little kids, the reason why I booked Rugrats was because my Tommy Pickles talks very broken and very unclear. He's like, oh, well, you know, my mom, she's really pretty full. And, you know, like everything is weird and broken up and sometimes not clear. And that's why they like my voice for that job.
And sometimes
that's the beauty of kids' voices is that they're not perfect as we like, you know. So,
That's what makes you, that's in a separate part of the conversation too, but like that's what makes her such a great voiceover actor, in my opinion, too, is that she's so authentically a child.
But again, one of the things we constantly hit on the show, we talk about, it's our mantra, you and I talk about this all the time, is there is a very big difference between childish and childlike.
Yeah.
So something male, very totally. Childlike about you that is so, you know, it's so attractive in the industry, especially when it comes to animation, because you can put your mind in the mind of a child. You can become a child again, childish, not good, childlike, something that should never be lost.
Yeah.
And I something agree. That is rewarded in our side of the industry here, especially when it comes to animation. So
I think so.
The embodiment of incredible, the combination of the wisdom and childlike is pretty awesome.
Well, and so what I found really interesting too is that you had a very adult, you know, film career as
we're getting into it. Okay.
Although I guess with Pee-wee's Playhouse, that
you just said one out loud. Okay, we're jumping right in because there's Big Adventure. A whole bunch here. Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yes, I grew up with this movie as well. I obsessed over how beautiful you were and.
But it was
great
also
dancer.
Just a great film all the way around. Talk about childlike.
Yes.
There was very few films, even now to this day, can a kid sit down and watch, an adult sit down and watch, and get two completely different experiences, but both enjoy it immensely.
And certainly at that time, there wasn't like the Nickelodeon initiative and Disney was even doing programming. So it wasn't like that concept of like, we need this. This needs to happen. But Pee-wee's movie, I remember watching that with my family.
He brought a whole thing, and then Tim Burton was found from that. That was his first big feature film.
So
you know what I mean? It was a very iconic, now it's like 30-something years old, but it's still like huge.
Yeah.
But E.G., I got to think that you must know so many amazing people in this industry.
I
mean, you grew up here.
And I love that.
You grew up here. And see, that's the thing is like, I know people who, I grew up in New York, and like I'll talk to other people who started young in the business and they're like, we started in New York. And there's always a little bit of jadedness.
Well, we were both started in Connecticut and then in New York, and we'll look at each other and be like, bah.
Yeah.
Like we know what we've done.
We rode the train for two hours. We took buses to get down
and the train. And then we meet people who are like, I grew up in California. And it's such a different vibe.
You're like,
it is a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. But I mean, how did you, and in speaking of this childlike sort of, magical
wonderment,
like fairy-like wonderment that keeps you young. You know, it really does. It's something that I actually appreciate about still enjoying going to Disneyland. Like I went a couple days ago with my kids, and like there's something to the magic of all of it, where I don't want to push that away from my mind.
No, it's awesome.
There's and certain things.
Yeah, being that whole little, you know, it's really funny because I hang out with my assistant. She's like my daughter's age, but like we call each other besties, you know, because I don't know. I just think, you know, and the other thing is I did this one woman show called Listen Closely, where I actually talk to myself and myself as an adult. So I talk to my inner child EG and my grown up EG.
Yes.
And so half the time it was like, we have to be really nice to that guy. Act sexy. We want him to like us. And then my inner child's like, but I don't like him. You know, it's like, you know, it's like to me, the child speaks the truth. And so you have to stay really connected to that inner child. And that's why that one woman show that I did was all about my journey and how much I battled. It wasn't easy. I battled like the voices that were like, oh, we're at this really cool party and everybody who's anyone is here and we have to act really cool. And we have to, my little kid's like, oh, I guess that shit. I will just have fun, you know. Like, you know, it's just like it's so important to constantly stay tapped into like, where are you being real and where are you being fake? And all the best conversations come when I wasn't worried about how I was looking and when I was having a good time. And I noticed people were really attracted to that when I was being my most. Whenever I'm dressed up, like super dressed up, and I have my makeup and my hair, and you know how this is when you get all done up.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable.
No, right. It's so uncomfortable.
I'm not comfortable. And so what happens is half my personality goes away.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's why sometimes I'll deliberately wear something. Like I went to a dinner party with girlfriends and they were all wearing fancy dresses and high heels. And I was like wearing something like this.
Yeah.
And a big bulky sweater. And I had more fun than everyone because I'm not trapped in this weird like.
Yeah.
Because you're in touch with your inner child.
Yeah.
My wife will do something like that. My wife will say we're going out to dinner and she'll put on her shoes and she'll go. The stopwatch has started. Oh. And I go, what do you mean? She's like, because you have a finite amount of time in these shoes before they're hard. So she's like, it started. Let's go. And it's like, all right.
It's like,
which she does 90% of the time. But she's like, I want to put on high heels tonight. And then she does. She'll look at me. She's like, the clock has begun.
Yeah.
Let's go.
It takes the fun out.
It does.
So that's not to discourage women who find themselves, because there are young girls that grow up wanting to wear the high heels.
Sure,
okay?
Yeah.
Because like I have two daughters. I have a 5-year-old and I have one that just turned 3. The one that's turning 3 literally has to be wearing a tiara on her head.
That's good.
Or she throws a huge tantrum.
My wife's the same way.
She is a pink girl. Yeah. She's a Bubbles. She's a Bubbles. And my other one is it's not a Bubbles. She's the other two.
They're usually opposite, total opposite.
They are. They really are opposite. And she likes science, and she asked me to buy her on Amazon a human head. Don't laugh.
What?
A human head, that scientific experiment from Nat Geo.
Where you can take it apart. And you go, oh, yeah. Oh, are you kidding? They're awesome.
But she's fine.
But that's great.
And I'm like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. And we think she's into
germs.
She's
going to be a brain surgeon.
Right? Yeah, she's like into germs. She's into molecules.
Oh, yeah. She's going to go the science route. That's awesome.
Wow. I know. And that's weird for me and my husband, who are both artists. And we're like, well, cool. She's going to be a scientist? Okay, yeah, you don't know.
That's pretty great.
It's like the bulb of a flower. When you go into a garden or nursery and there's like little brown balls. They're bulbs for flowers. And then you pick them up and then you plant them and you don't know what kind of flower it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your job is to put it in the dirt, to water it, to give it
love.
Nurture
it and let it grow.
And then it turns into this magnificent flower.
That's really
But you
cool.
can't make it be a different flower. Yeah. You have to let it be the flower.
So how much of Tommy is your inner child? Like,
that's
what
a good
is
question.
A lot. And Tommy Pickles is a lot. I really resonate with Tommy Pickles because to me, he has a lot of compassion. He really cares about others. He cares about people's feelings. He wants everybody to win. He's fun. He's adventurous and he's a leader, but he's not a jerk.
Mm-mm.
He's a kind leader. He wants everyone to feel included. And honestly, to be honest, that's kind of me. I want everybody to win. I want everybody to feel appreciated and loved. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. And I think that's Tommy Pickles. So I feel very connected to Tommy Pickles.
Now, when did Rugrats start? When was this that you actually got this show? It's been,
that was back in the 80s. That was It's having, it just had its 30-year anniversary. So
yeah, I'm wearing the shirt, by the way, everybody.
You're my 30 years. Now you're wearing my shirt. That's me.
Yep.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
other
cute.
Than The Simpsons, it's got to be one of the longest running.
It's huge. Yeah. It's great.
Certainly the children's.
Yeah, it's great. And now we just started our reboot, and I'm on season 2 of the brand new reboot, so who knows how many seasons we're going to do
and
now.
And where's the reboot on? The reboot is on
Paramount Plus.
It's on Paramount Plus. Okay.
Yeah, and the reboot is so great because now it's all CGI.
Yeah.
And they moved... They recast some of the adult characters. All the babies are the same characters, same cast.
That's great.
But some of the adult characters, they brought in some celebrity talent from popular TV shows and stuff. But the beautiful thing is they're making the millennial, the people that were grown up on Rugrats, like the little kids, they're now young parents.
Yeah.
Me. I'm not a young parent.
You're a young
parent. You're a pretty
kids.
Young parent.
Beautiful.
You're a young parent.
Yeah, and so what's happening is the young parents are now going to watch Rugrats, but now they moved all the Rugrats elements to like, cell phones, bloggers, dating apps.
Sure.
So we brought it to today's time, so it's going to be very relatable. But they're bringing all the coziness of the Rugrats, like the family and the familiarity and all the different diversity of all the family members. Like, it's a very beautiful show. Like, it embraces, and Betty has now come out as a member of the LGBTQ community, which we, how can you not love a show that is embracing
everyone? Of course.
Yeah.
There's somebody who's out on this, on the new one? Betty. Okay, great. I need to see this then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to watch
and
the new
one
as
so
well.
It's so awesome. Like everybody, that's what I mean. Everybody's included. They're really, they're just really embracing everybody's different cultures.
Yeah.
They did a special called Traditions for the Holidays, which was all about how everybody celebrates Christmas and different people do different traditions. And they kind of tapped into different people's wanting to make sure everybody felt special on their Christmas the way they celebrate, whether it's Jewish or Christian or Catholic or whatever.
Is that different from the Rugrats that was 2D, I guess you.
No, I mean they always kind of did that, but now they're just widening.
Don't laugh.
I'm sorry.
I hear him laugh.
It sounded like you said 2D. It sounded like you said 2D to me, and then my brain needed to translate. Oh, she's saying 2D.
2D,
as in two dimensional. I was like, you know, remember when it was 2D? I didn't. I was like, wait.
That's a good name for a dog.
Facts of life. That was Facts of Life. That's a total different thing.
Yeah, 2D.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's
sorry. So cute. We often we see something shiny and get distracted. It is how we do it here on I Hear Voices.
That's funny. But yeah, it's very similar
in the 2D version.
Yeah, it's kind of similar in that they always kind of did things special for holidays to kind of show everybody's different cultures. But now they can do it more beautifully, magnificently because the animation is so spectacular.
Sure.
Like everything looks like when you see a giant Pixar feature and the carpet looks real and the water looks real and the mud looks real. Everything looks so real and beautiful.
So now I have to talk about something very briefly here because my brothers and I, we love movies, we love TV, and we grew up speaking in quotes.
Oh, I love that.
And
one of the things we quoted more than anything was Valley Girl. So we won't get too much into Valley Girl, but just letting you know, it was hugely important in the Friedle household.
What was your favorite quote from Valley Girl?
Yeah, there's so many of them. One of the ones we, because the whole cadence of the speech. So one of the things we're learning on I Hear Voices, especially when you want to become a voiceover actor, we heard some great advice from Miley, but she said one of the first things she teaches people is just listen to everybody around you. Mm-hmm. Listen to their voices, try to understand their cadence, get there. So the Valley dialect, which is what it was back in the
80s. Which nobody probably knew about, right? Valley Girl was like a thing of the 80s.
If you lived in California, you then you got to exactly. Be like, certain people talk like this, and there's like
and
surfers.
It was take and, off, you know, and yeah. one of the lines we loved was just the bad guy in the movie just walked up to Nick, you know, they're like, and you, I think you like walked up to him and said, you know, she's going to take you back. And he's like, of course, no other Val dude can touch me.
Yeah, I love that.
And it was just one of the greatest lines ever. Yeah. So my brothers and I will be like, you know, it's like, hey, you going out with that girl? And I'd be like, yeah, no other Val dude can touch me.
We love that movie. Oh,
and then there's the scene, not to get too much into it, then there's a scene where he goes and he hooks up with your character as like a revenge against his ex.
Yes.
And then kind of walks out on you and does this weird hand gesture. Where that's all he does. He does this surfing weird with my brothers and I look
hilarious.
At each other and just go,
yeah, the best.
And so it was, and it also introduced us to the Plimsolls, which was one of the greatest bands of the 80s.
And
ever.
I just did a live during, towards more recently, but we did a live show at the Viper Room. We put together Cameron Dye, who plays his buddy.
Yeah.
Called me, and then this other guy called and said, would you do some Valley Girl soundtrack songs? We're going to do a Valley Girl night at
you
the Viper Room.
That.
How
were
did
you
I
on
not?
That?
I'm not on the chain.
You don't
this
even
is
know.
Why I'm, this is why, this was, is why social media
it was
exists.
Scary because COVID was still up, and people were like, I can't believe you're going to go play live. But, you know, I wore a mask, so I got on the stage.
Yeah.
I wore a mask, and people were kind of far and down. But I did songs like Million Miles Away, and we did songs like just the most classic songs from that movie. And somewhere, I think I posted a little of me, I'll stop the world and
met with you. Oh, God. The soundtrack for Valley Girl was one of the greatest soundtracks ever. Like, of all time.
The best ever.
Unbelievable.
And so that night, playing all those Valley Girl songs, people were losing it.
Yeah.
Because the band, we had two of the original Plimsolls in that band that night. And Cameron Dye and I. So it was really cool. You can find that online somewhere. I posted a little clip of it, but
see, this is.
But you can find the entire.
Now I get why people are
on social media. I don't know if you can find the whole thing.
And what about your one woman show? Which, by the way, I saw you post a lot about it.
Yeah.
I think you've been posting.
Did you?
Some
did
bits
we send you a
it.
Link? I'll make sure that Ace.
Yeah,
gets
no, please do. That'd be amazing.
It's an
I can't
hour
wait.
And 15 minutes. The one woman show is called E.G. Daily. No, it's called Listen Closely.
Okay.
E.G. Daily is one woman autobiographical musical, and the reason why is because I literally wrote my whole career. I've done a lot of albums. I've had a lot.
A lot of albums.
Yeah. And I literally, as I was writing these songs, a lot of them were autobiographical, right? Mm-hmm. So I had this boyfriend who shot himself in the head. There was one moment in the, and I talk about that. It's not all heavy, but there's moments that are heavy.
Sure.
And there's moments that are funny and light. But I pretty much let it all out because that's how I roll. Radical honesty about everything. Because I like people to get a little uncomfortable so that they actually go, oh my God, that makes me so uncomfortable. Oh my God, I can't take it. Oh my God, I feel the same way. To me, that's magic when you can actually get someone to go, I've had that same experience. I don't talk about it.
Sure.
And there's a lot of healing to be done. So in this show, it's called Listen Closely. And that's why I talked about throughout the show, I do a lot of different voices. I play my mother who talks like this. And then I play, she goes, why did you shave your legs? You know, like she's French, Tunisian Jew. And then I do like my brother, Ronnie. You know, I do his voice. And I do all these characters in the moment show. I talk to myself, talking to all these people that I grew up with. And it's very profound. And there's moments that are very deep. There's moments that are very sad. But literally, you'll be laughing hysterically one moment, and then you'll be crying the next moment because I just let it all hang out.
That's amazing.
That is honestly, that is that's always a fantasy.
And I'm half naked while I'm doing it.
Well, we like that. We like that on I Hear Voices.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about E.G., right? So I haven't gotten nearly enough in-person time with E.G. in my lifetime. We've crossed paths.
Yeah.
I actually thought that Will had a lot of time with her. It turns out,
we cross paths as well. You see people at conventions, or we did a show together and neither of us can remember what it was. It was back in the day.
Yeah. But the something one animated. Thing that has always come about when people have mentioned E.G.'s name, it's not even just, it's like, oh yeah, E.G.? Yeah.
I like that.
She's
character.
The coolest person on the planet. Like anytime E.G.'s name is mentioned, it's always like, what? Oh. E.G.? Yeah.
That's funny.
I'm telling you. That. Anytime your name is uttered, there's this like, there's this impactful way of like, well, shoot, I need to meet her someday.
Yeah. I want
to
meet her.
Like, legit. Like, I've always, it's been on my bucket list. Now you're here. You're on. I hear voices.
Also, looking at your, I mean, forget about being a cool person. Just looking at the resume from all the shows, movies, albums. It's insane. I mean,
are you
nuts.
Proud of your work?
Yeah.
Like, are you, do you look at your resume and be like,
you know who makes me proud? You know, when I forget a little bit, because it's easy sometimes when, of course, we have moments, as you know, when things are awesome and you're working, everybody wants you and everybody's hiring you. Like, I'm always want to do more work. And luckily, Rob Zombie will call me and have me do his movies all the time.
Oh, you know,
like,
Rob.
But to me, it's like, what makes me happy? And, you know, when I forget, because sometimes there's moments where things are slow and you're like, I need to get more work. And what makes me remember is I literally go on YouTube, and I have a YouTube, so you guys can subscribe easily. But
subscribe.
It's not just that, but on my YouTube, when I post videos or music, like I did 3 new music videos during COVID because I was so like stir crazy to make art. So I managed to get one guy to come in with a mask and we filmed it and I edited it with him. But when I go back, like I just did it yesterday, and I pulled it up, I look at my YouTube comments, and these people rock my world. And you know who you are, doll. You know who you are because they say the most amazing things about my work. And then I remember, like, I have made an impact. I have made an impact.
A crazy impact.
But I forget. You forget because sometimes things get slow and you start to think, oh, I got to grind, I got to hustle. And it's like, no, I already did the work.
Yeah.
Just start to reach out, call my friends, say, I need more work. I want to do some more fun movie roles. I wanted this, I want that. And people think you're always working, so they don't call you sometimes. But we're always looking for new opportunities to work. And I just love to work. But what I'm saying is, right?
Yes.
That's what I mean.
Yes.
But I'll tell you what, when I read those comments and when I read the comments on my TikTok from fans and when I read the comments on, did you do one of those things too where you're like,
yes, that's not my name.
Yeah, yeah.
He didn't even know about it until yesterday.
Of course not. I don't know. Social media is not a thing.
Well, okay, so Will is not on social media, and that's good. It's good for him. It's healthy for him.
No social media, no on camera. I just do voiceover, and now I get to talk to awesome people, and I'm a pretty happy guy.
Yeah. And we protect him at all costs because that's what we want for him, is the healthiest frame of mind.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's hard. You get caught in. I enjoy it now. I try to do it because I like it. It's fun.
Well, it's so fun for people in the millennial and younger Gen Z that are you know, approaching. Because honestly, the Rugrats
love it too much.
Merch, the Rugrats merch is everywhere amongst Gen Z's.
Sure.
Heelys. They just sent me Heelys.
They're doing a Rugrats Heelys?
Yeah, we got some. They sent them over to us.
Heelys, are those the thing with the wheels?
We have really cute tennis shoes. Puma's got shoes out now. They've got all this merch.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Rugrats is everywhere. It's awesome.
No, it's really great.
It's come back in a big way. Well, because Y2K fashion and Rugrats is kind of embedded into Y2K. It's on the earlier side of Y2K, but what I find interesting, and this happened with KP as well, was that once you're rolling for a while, you're transgenerational.
Yeah.
Right? So like you have made an impact on like many
generations. Generation after generation after generation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that. And to me, I love that. That I will go to a con, as you know, and we'll all have a table, this big. Our tables are about this big. And I will put Tommy Pickles, Buttercup, different cartoon characters. And then I move into like Valley Girl, Pee Wee's Big Adventure, the pop culture.
Yeah.
Then on the other end of the table are like the Rob Zombie, Candy, Sex Head, all those characters. And then I get a line of people that will come to my table, lots.
Sure.
And they come. And you get the kids over here going, Tommy Pickles and Buttercup, and the moms too sometimes. And then you get the dads who are like, oh my God, I wanted to marry Dottie.
That's
me. Did you want to marry me?
Of course, of course.
But you know the drive-in with me. Anyway, there's Dottie.
I'm absorbing that a little bit here.
So then you get those people, and then the moms that were like Valley Girl fans in that genre of women.
Yeah.
They were like, oh my God, I loved your character. You were the best. And then you get the rocker dads, and the dads are like, Rob Zombie, we love your character, or some of the rocker moms.
Sure.
But it's like, it's so awesome to me to see this beautiful, which is why—
patchwork of like humanity.
To me, it's like, and that's why to me, like when it's slow and when it's difficult, when people are forgetting, like call. People think we're always, I used to go look in my agents when I was younger too, used to go like, they're looking for an Elizabeth Daly type. And they would have my face and I'd be like,
about me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I think that happened to me. That happened to me one time. Yeah. They were like, we're looking for a Kim Possible type.
Exactly.
I didn't get it.
Well, did you, have you ever done the,
right?
Have you ever done the old adage in Hollywood where they say, so you use yourself. So you say it starts with who's Will Friedle. Then it's get me Will Friedle. Then it's get me a younger Will Friedle.
Yeah.
Then it's who's Will Friedle. So that's the way it runs. But I would quickly like to read just some of, some of the soundtracks that you've been a part of are insane. Thief of Hearts, Scarface, Breakfast Club, Summer School, Better Off Dead.
Yeah.
Will's Childhood. I mean, insane. It just like involved in all these amazing films. That's just as part of the soundtrack.
Yeah.
That's not then the films you were in. That's not then the animated series you've done. That's not then your own personal albums. These are just, these multi-award winning films that were so important to everybody. Yeah, I was part of all those.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, again, it's the difference, I guess, between working and having a career. I mean, you've had a career that's
I love to make art. I don't care. If it's slow in acting, I'll go make a record. If it's slow in music, I'll go do an animated project. If it's slow in that, I'll produce something. I do not wait. My art dictates my joy. I have to keep doing art because if not, I'll spiral into, I'm not important, nobody cares, I'm not making as much money. It's like all this stuff that will bring you down. I have to remember, if you sing, sing. And if you sing in your house and it gives you joy, sing in your house. Because every time I pick up my guitar to start singing, it's funny, Ace, my girl, I love her. Ace, my assistant, she'll be like, how come I know you're singing? You're not singing ever with it. And it's like, because I go through moments where it's hard for me to get myself to want to sing because I haven't had any projects in the music realm. Now I have to do something next week where they wanted me to sing two songs. So that means I have to sing. I have to pick up the guitar and I have to practice. And then so when I'm in the car now, I start warming up the voice and then I remember like, oh my God, I love this. Mm. Oh my God, this makes me so happy.
Singing
does something to your chemistry too. If you're a real singer, there's something that happens when you really get to where you're really singing. Get to the zone. Get to that zone.
I have a complicated relationship with it, but
do you? Well, you know when you sing a lot and your voice almost gets a little huskier and it starts to get really like rich and then your voice gets bigger and fatter and fuller the more you sing. Mm. And when I get to that place where I've been singing a lot, you can always tell because my speaking voice gets a little huskier. I just feel like I'm plugged back in to much bigger something. And that's my connection. So the voice is my connection, but when I sing is really my connection. So
that's amazing. Speaking of animation, because we ask this of everybody that comes on here, when you were growing up, were you a fan of cartoons?
I wasn't really that girl. I mean, I wasn't really...
Doing voices, but not watching cartoons.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I wasn't really like an anime person. I didn't really go to conventions or cons. Mm-hmm. Did you?
No, I was a theater kid.
Okay.
So for me, cons were very new to me.
Yeah.
Did you know about cons?
Oh, yeah. I used to go to Star Trek conventions when I was younger. I'm a nerd.
You did?
I'm
you
a
were
total
a
nerd. Yeah, you were absolutely. Nerdy? Oh, I'm still nerdy.
I love
nerdy.
That. Yeah.
So I'm it's
nerd,
genuine.
Absolutely. A genuine nerd. Yeah.
See, there's, I didn't do any of that. I was like a rocker. I was a rock star. I was like a rock star in my own mind. And then I became more of a real one. But I literally was like, I was playing clubs on the Sunset Strip when I was 16. And
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. So I'm sorry. Now, were you there watching like the Go-Go's as they were exploding in LA and
my
there
mom
for
owned
all
a
that kind of stuff?
Yes, because my mom owned a famous club called the Anti-Club, which was...
Wait, your mother owned that club?
Yeah.
Didn't they know that? Didn't they broke like a huge number of bands.
So many bands. So my mom.
It was like CBGB or Whiskey out here, right?
It was Madame Wong's or the Whiskey or any of those. It was an underground club. So we had people like Chris Isaak played there. I think the Black Flag and X Scene. And anyway, so the club was really popular and we had all kinds of bands. It was also rockabilly and punk bands. It was a punk club. And I used to go there and kind of be a celebrity, like hidden away bartend, you know, for stuff. And then those were the days when I started playing. Like my sister would be like, you should pick up your guitar and go play a set. That was when I started doing I was 16 or, but I started
with
playing.
With your brother too, you said?
That particular one I actually played by myself.
Wow.
So I started playing at my mom's. I did other ones too, but that's where I really started. I couldn't even play guitar that well yet, but I started to really push myself to do live shows because it would That scared me, but then I started to get better.
Well, let's very quickly talk about the punk scene in LA.
Yeah, yeah.
LA.
No, wait. So he's into punk too. Which I love you. So he is nerdy, but he's also very cool.
See, that's
he's a man of all things.
I'm a Renaissance nerd, is what I would say.
A Renaissance nerd.
I am a Renaissance nerd. But no, when you have older brothers,
punk nerd.
You do. Well, I went from kind of the older school punk scene, which was kind of growing in the New York scene a little bit. And the LA scene at the time.
Yeah.
But then it kind of transitioned in my family to more of kind of the CBGB scene. So we loved like the Ramones and Television.
Yeah.
I think they
might have played there too.
Which is insane. And then you get into the Clash and kind of more of the British stuff. But then we got more kind of indie alternative, which was more like Husker Du and the Hootie Gurus and bands like that were coming out of like Minneapolis and things like that. But LA at the time had one of the most amazing New York scenes. And this was kind of very post the California sound when it was the Eagles and stuff like that.
Yeah, right before. It was like Madam Wong's.
Yeah.
And Coconut Teaser broke a lot. I had a residency there. I would play there once a week, packed and lines around the block. I had a metal band called Slave. So it was a heavy metal band.
So you're talking right in the 80s, Motley Crue,
they were my neighbors. And
really?
I was going to say, who was your first boyfriend? We must have been a rocker.
Yeah, I had a lot of those rockers with the skinny jeans.
Their
legs were this big, but I thought it was
all leather. They wore the girl pants.
That was those were my tribes. I mean, Motley Crue literally lived. I had a little apartment across the street right up the street from the Whiskey on Clark Street, and Motley Crue guys were just breaking, and they had an apartment. They all lived in one apartment.
Yeah,
and I remember like Vince was starving, and I was like, "Come on over," and I opened up a can of beans for him, and you know,
feeding Vince Neil.
Yeah, beans.
Dude, you are iconic.
How funny is that?
Iconic.
And I think I hung out with Nikki back then, and you know,
you have
Nikki
been around for some of the coolest parts of LA, really some of the coolest parts of Los Angeles.
It was a really cool time, and that was like I knew all the guys from like Poison, and I'd met them at a party, and then they were like, "Come to our rehearsal," and the rehearsal studio was this big, and I was sitting on the floor because there was no room to sit anywhere else. Like it was a very iconic time.
It was like Poison, Cinderella, Motley Crue, Rat.
E.G.'s different. E.G. is very
special. Okay, so to bring it back.
So I want to get to Powerpuff Girls.
Yes, right? Let's go to Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
How did you come up with your voice for Powerpuff Girls? Let's jump right into it.
Well, when we auditioned for Powerpuff Girls, we did it at Hanna-Barbera. And they didn't know what they wanted. They didn't know what they wanted for Buttercup. They didn't know what they wanted for Bubbles or Blossom.
Huh.
So what they did was they brought us all in and they heard the different textures and they had the age range. So it was like, Buttercup talks like this and she's raspy and she's feisty and she talks a little fast and she says like, you know, things like that. And so they recorded us for the audition. And then that was the audition. And I don't know if you know how this works, but literally 7 years later, I got a call saying, remember that thing you auditioned for?
Wait, 7?
Like
a crazy amount
like,
of time?
I'm saying like somewhere like a lot of years. Like five. Could have been 5 years, could have been 7.
But it wasn't the next week.
No, it was years later.
Wow.
So then I get a call saying, remember that thing you auditioned for? And that guy, Craig McCracken, who's a genius, mm-hmm. who really only looked like he was about 17 back then. Like we were like, he's just a kid.
This guy.
And then they picked up a series on that. So then the very beginning of that show was like Tara Strong was like mm-hmm. one of my besties and Kathy Cavadini, who mm-hmm. I adore. They started just to kind of like
fit you play together.
With the differences of our voices. Mine was a little feisty and a little, you know, edgy. You're feisty. And
you just made her day.
And
made her day.
Anyway, so, and Tara could do that adorable little baby voice and Tara's amazing. And Kathy does that more. She's very more practical, more the leader, which is kind of like our personalities anyway.
Yeah, kind of.
It's funny how that works.
Yeah.
So they just kind of, they just kind of put it together.
Well, you know, we had Lisa Schaefer in here, who I'm sure you've worked with, right?
Yeah.
And Lisa directed us primarily on Kim Possible. It was like her first big thing she was talking about. Cool. And she was saying how really the most important thing about voiceover actors and her casting them is that they are an actor first. Mm-hmm. But that they can authentically play the character, I think, is what I took away from that.
Yeah.
You know, in a really unique way and that they find their way into it. So, I mean, she's a bit different from, you know.
Yeah.
From Tommy.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, really, the best actors are the best voiceovers. I mean, voice actors are literally some of the best actors on the planet.
Hugely
because
talented.
They can do so much with their voice.
I think they're a bit unsung too.
They
this
are.
Is a term
they
that
are.
They
are.
They
are. Oh, yeah, it's true. Yeah, very much. Well, there's
because
also
they're not working. Like Tara's recently doing something on camera, and I'm like, yeah, go, like get it.
You Kevin Conroy finally got to play Batman on camera. For he played Bruce Wayne for the first time, and he was Batman for 30 years.
Yeah.
On the DC universe, whatever it was. Yeah. Was it the Flash Batman crossover Arrowverse kind of thing. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And so Kevin, it was like, you want to play Batman? And he's like, yeah, I'm a Shakespearean trained stage actor.
But that's
so
what
yes,
I mean.
I can play this.
And,
yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, you will never find more talented actors. So sometimes people will say, which is why I did a voiceover seminar, because people will say, like, I have a really good voice. Yeah. Everyone says my voice is good.
Or I do funny voices.
Especially at cons.
I do funny voices. Yeah. And I'll be like, that's awesome. That is one of the first important things. However, you better be the best actor out there. Yeah. And you, most of the time, people that can sing really well are great voice actors. Because you have to be a great actor. And if you can sing, then you know how to like play with your voice. Like when I first got Rugrats, this is trivia that sometimes people don't know. They had already cast someone as Tommy Pickles.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Nobody knows. It's a weird trivia, but that's why they were recasting, because they wanted to switch the voice.
The texture wasn't...
They wanted more something different.
Okay.
They wanted more authentic baby sounding.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is kind of my thing. So basically, they called me and they said, we want you to come in and do this voice. So I booked it and I thought I was just going to do it. And then they said, no. What you have to do is they'd already done a whole season with this other girl.
Oh.
And they already animated it or starting animated. So I had to come in and match her.
Oh, you had to dub everything.
They Look, already flaps and everything.
That's really, but because I'm a singer, right?
Yeah.
And I hear things as music. So if that girl, who was also talented, just not the voice they wanted, but if that person was like, a baby's got to do what a baby's got to do, right? And that was the cadence of that line.
Right, there was a tempo.
I just said, send me all her tracks of her voice. And I learned it like a song. I was like, a baby's got to do what a baby's got to do. And I'd go, a baby got to do what a baby got to do. I just put my voice with her little cadence and her
Did you
rhythm.
Guys ever end up doing ensemble records?
We did. When we first started doing Rugrats, we were in a small little booth together. This is when they had that office on Highland.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And it was the babies. It was back then, it was Chris Kavanaugh, who, bless her, passed away. But she was the original voice of Chucky. And then it was Cass Susie, who does... Phil and Lil, and she was doing Betty, and myself, and Dill wasn't born yet. So in the beginning, it was just those main babies.
With the new spinoff, are you, not, well, it's COVID, so you probably are recording by yourself.
Well, Nickelodeon's not, are they union? Are you guys?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So back, back then, it was easier to do together because it was the beginning, but it also took a lot longer because it was all three of us. So you're waiting, and you're waiting for them to perfect each line, and you're reading together, but... Then you're having to wait to make sure they get that line right and that line. And so in the beginning, it was that's how we did it. We sometimes were in there for 4 hours or 6 hours, which is unheard of.
That's a long session.
That's a long session. Plus our director, Paul Germain, was very meticulous about how the lines were, which is why Rugrats was so good, because they worked so hard to make it so good. And now it's great just because everybody knows their characters. We all know each other so well. We know how to work off each other. We know before they even say your line how they're going to say. I know how Phil or Lil talks so well that... Now I record myself in my home booth.
Sure.
Sometimes I go to Nickelodeon and do it myself, but everybody's separate because of COVID. COVID kicked around and they were like, we started rebooting and we did, I started working with one other character and then COVID hit and then they were like, oh,
that's
they
it.
Stopped for a while. And they were like, how's your booth? And everything was, so we were able to do them.
Huh.
Yeah. So now we do it separate.
Yeah. So, okay. Because we were talking about the differences between recording alone and then recording as an ensemble, and then COVID hits and recording an ensemble is obviously not even possible.
Yeah.
So every now voiceover actor now doesn't have to wonder what it's like to record with an ensemble or alone, because everybody's recording alone.
And we're lucky because, like I said, we know each other's characters so well.
Yeah.
I know how Dill is going to respond.
Sure.
You know? I know how, you know, whichever character, I know how Chucky's going to say, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I just know, and I'll know how to respond. So it's fine.
So I think it's time to get into some fun.
Oh,
here.
It's been so much fun.
It has
already.
Been.
Really?
But now we got something fun that we do here on
Party
I Hear Voices.
Time.
So we are not fully up and running and interactive yet, but we will be our next round. So one of the fun things that we're doing on I Hear Voices is that kids especially, anybody can, but kids especially are going to be able to Skype in and speak with their favorite voiceover actors and show artwork that they've created. And the voiceover actor gets to put a voice to something that a kid has done. So Christy has reached out on her social media and we've gotten some pictures from kids across the country. And we'd like, if you could, to pick one or two at random.
You got them already? Yay! Got them already.
And then put a voice to some of the characters that we have here.
And they do have the names of either the artist or the character. But
it's fun. We just
love art when they do.
And they're great. Yeah, some of the, art we're getting is phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will do a drawing of, they do these cool drawings for me and I post them because I'm so proud of the work.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, are you picking or is he
No,
picking?
I was just looking, getting excited. I'm getting excited.
Let's do it. Okay. Come on.
All right, let's see what we got.
I want to fan it out properly so she can really get all of the options.
Wow, you're going to fan it out.
Yeah.
She's very meticulous.
You're a fangirl.
She is.
Indeed.
I just pick it random.
Anyone you want, pick it random.
You can kind of see that one.
We're kind of seeing that one, so maybe I should not do that.
Here we go. What do we got?
Oh, gosh. Oh, cool.
That's really sweet.
Oh, geez. So, now, the question is, which one are we voicing?
I know, right? Maybe we should try both.
I know.
Well, yes. Can you? Well, first of all, is the name of the person?
Okay, I'll do each.
Let's see. It says something.
Nia 20-something.
Nia. It looks like.
I'll do both.
A 20-something viewer of ours is really excited to see these. This
is a beautiful painting.
It's great, isn't it?
Look at this.
We've gotten some wonderful pieces of art. We really
have. Very magical, very dreamy.
Could we show the camera too?
Yeah. Okay. Right. So this camera. Here we go. So I would say that she would say, "I really like the way the leaves blow when it's chilled, but I especially like the golden sun on my cheek." That's how I would talk for her.
That was awesome.
That's perfect.
EG, you're hired.
And now, curiously, what would the dog sound like?
The dog would be like, it's getting a little breezy. Maybe we should lay down or maybe we should have a snack.
It's in her bag.
Awesome.
The snack's in her bag. That's exactly right.
I don't know. That's what I do. Because, like, she, it's beautiful.
It's magical.
It's a great
and she looks very zen.
Piece of art.
Yeah, it's really lovely.
Oh, Nia, congratulations.
It reminds me of Avatar a little bit.
It does, doesn't it? A little bit?
That's the background. Awesome. So, yeah, good job.
Thanks, EG.
Yeah.
Now, curiously, where can people find you? What do you want to promote? Where can they find
us? Okay, so are we already at the end?
Are we then?
I think we're pretty close to the end.
No, don't
we could do this for 5 hours
either.
With EG and
I'm
still
not
just
leaving.
Scratch
no.
the surface.
EG.
Let's do a whole nother Valley Girl podcast. Don't even get me started.
Oh my God, that movie's so good. But
also, too, you have a single coming out.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so I did do they asked me if I wanted to be on a Go-Go's tribute album because they just were inducted into the...
Finally, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which well-deserved.
Yeah, they're such an awesome...
all-girl band who wrote all their own stuff, played all their
Amazing.
Own instruments that had a number one album
Amazing.
At the time. And we're not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which is ridiculous. So they
yeah,
are
so that's awesome. So they asked me if I wanted to sing a song on this Go-Go tribute album. And they're actually printing discs, which is really cool.
Sweet.
These particular guys. So I said, I would love to. And I said, do I get to pick the song I want to do? And they're like, yeah, which one? Of course, I picked We Got the Beat.
Of course.
So I recorded that song with my friend Lee Miles, who's amazing. And we did a very fun kind of poppy, kind of pop culture-y little music video with the cell phone.
Oh, that's
so it's
awesome.
Really fun. So that'll be coming out. And then what else? I have a movie that's also pop culture called The Blonde Experiment that I did that Ooh. They're still in post-production. And I play Aquarius, who is a influencer. Pop star. And
okay.
I love that. Because that's
Perfect.
Who I
See? You're playing.
I manifested my own.
You did.
And I'm telling you, I got to wear everything sparkly. It was a role for my own... the heart. And so that should at some point be coming out. And I got to do some music for that too. So there's a song called So Pretty that they actually used throughout that.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
Cool. It's really cool. And it's also going to be very pop culture. It's really fun. So I don't know when that's coming out, but it is in post-production. So, and I had a pilot called Beverly Hills Broke that I produced that's coming out that we're in just dropping mode. So there's a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah.
And
you're on, are you on Cameo?
I am on
Cameo.
And you're on Cameo.
I'm on Cameo. And I'm hopefully going to be doing something with Anderson Paak, who's really cool and talented.
Oh my gosh, we love Anderson Paak.
He's working on something. I might be working on something with him in the animation realm. So he's super
talented. And the Rugrats reboot.
A baby's got to do what a baby's got to do. And here we are. Doing so much fun. Anyway, so here we are. And then you can find me at Really Jadaily on TikTok, as we were talking about.
Please give a follow.
Yeah, Really Jadaily on TikTok and Instagram, because we want more followers on Instagram because it seems hard. But mine's worth it, and is yours.
Supposedly, just as a sort of an aside note, if anyone is interested in getting more followers too on Instagram, you can, and I can tell you guys how to do this. You got to use your reels that you're doing on, or your videos that you're doing on
TikTok.
You have to repurpose them by downloading them in a third party app called Musical Down.
What? And then from are you remembering there, this?
Yeah, I'll tell you. I'll tell you. And then basically you're going to post those reels on Instagram so you don't have to redo them or anything.
Or you can could just read.
Can't you just save them, the videos from TikTok, and then post them?
But then they're watermarked.
So, I didn't know that.
But here's the interesting thing. Will, I understand that you can read. I get it. Some of us don't want to read. Some of us just want to be entertained.
Not a good answer.
Or we make sponsored content and it helps supplement our income.
That's funny.
That's okay too.
Yeah. So
balance.
There's
a balance in life. You need a balance in life.
But listen, EG, I think it's amazing that EG can utilize social media because people are finally getting to know her in a whole new way. Yeah. And she has so many stories to tell that like her content can become super iconic.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But her content has already been iconic for decades at this
point. Yeah, but these kids, they don't know it until it goes viral.
Yeah. And some of mine have gone viral. Yeah. There's one with my daughters that's really cute where you meet my daughters and they can do voices too.
Yes, they can.
Yeah,
yes,
that one went to like 8 or 9 million and I don't know what. It just blew up and then Complex put it on their page. It was really fun. There's a lot of fun stuff. But I like, because what I do on TikTok is some of my stuff gets in the millions and some gets less. But sometimes I post about like animals that I'll foster. And I talk about my animal activism that I do.
Yeah, that's great
I want to make sure people know like, yes, I want to promote the stuff that's fun that we all know and love, which is like the cartoons and the movies and the animation. But it's really important to know that I'm a human person. And I'll also post like, I posted that like, you know, I lost my Christmas, one of my little tiny dogs passed away. And I post things that are real. Like I posted that I was super sad because I want people to know like everybody has sadness. Everybody goes through loss. And in the middle of like, I may be having some beautiful things going down in my life. There's also life stuff that's painful. And I want everybody to know like, it isn't always all perfect for everybody. We all suffer. And then the beautiful thing was when I was going through the loss of my dog at Christmas, it was Christmas Eve. And when I went through that, I didn't want to post about it till a couple of weeks later because I couldn't deal with the sadness about it. I got to tell you, the fans' comments made me feel better.
That's nice.
I mean, the engagement made me feel better.
Like they were saying the most beautiful things like, she's following you. She's right by your feet. Her spirit is everywhere. Like things that made me feel so beautiful.
So you feel the community.
Oh, I'm all about
it. I get it. It's just not for me. I get it. I think you need a balance in life. I think if you can balance that with real interactions with real people, it's probably a better, more healthy for people.
What do you think, Ruby? I think you're actually right. Yeah.
Thank you, EG.
And kisses. There we go.
Thank you so much for coming.
My pleasure, you guys. Yeah. Nice.
Sitting with you, it reminds
now
me
now we're going to make a TikTok.
You have to make a TikTok. No, sitting with you, it reminds me of a quote that is sitting on my fridge that I look at every day. And it says, how old would you be if you didn't know how old you are?
That's my favorite.
And EG reminds me of that. So
do you
really
want to answer that question?
Timeless.
How old would I be if I didn't know how old is it? I got to be honest, I'm pretty happy with my age right now.
I got to be honest, I really like...
Are you really?
I am, because I just don't want to relive my 20s or my childhood.
I think in the 90s with Boy Meets World and all the shows I was on, I was probably quote-unquote more successful, but I'm way happier as a person now, way more well-adjusted and...
In love.
In love and supported. And I'm a better human being now than I was, so...
Yeah, I like that. See, I still feel like I'm 27.
Okay.
But
you look 27, EG.
You look 27, yeah.
But I love the wisdom, the learning, the life stuff, the experiences of where I'm at. But I still feel like my spirit is like 27. So I have all of the best of, you know, I think it's all the best. It's like having that, my spirit, I can be close. She's literally like my bestie, Ace, my assistant. Like my spirit is like super, she's like my mom sometimes. I'm like, mom, she's like, EG, you're not supposed to do that. I'm like, fix it. You know, but I like the wisdom of the age.
Yeah,
I love it. I like being able to teach people, but I also just love, you know, enjoy your life and do what makes you happy. And they say, what's my favorite thing? Is it's like, find what you love and what makes you happy and go do it. Like, just what makes you happy and go do it.
Yeah.
That's whatever that is.
Best advice we could get?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming out.
Thanks, you guys.
Appreciate it. Hey, they say youth is wasted on the young. Go prove them wrong. Bye, everybody.
I Hear Voices is hosted by Wilfred L. and Christy Carlson Romano. Produced by Elizabeth Joy Windham and executive produced by Brendan Rooney and Wilfred L. Our sound engineer and editor is Elizabeth Joy Windham, and our video editor is Eduardo Gamba. And that was my announcer voice.
Some side effects of listening to I Hear Voices are sore abs from hilarity, falling down the Cocomelon rabbit hole, sneezing due to mass nostalgia, and hugs.
Follow I Hear Voices wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss any of the amazing voices.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at I Hear Voices Podcast. To see the video stream, subscribe to my YouTube channel.
You can also check us out on MySpace, Omegle, Vine, LimeWire, AIM, and Napster.
Okay, Will, let's teach you about the internet.
The what?